Gene drive technology is an idea that's been around for many years, but only is now possible through development of a new form of technology called CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing. Basically, the idea of gene drive technology is to drive a gene through a population, a wild population, that you want to suppress. For example, in our case, it's all about getting rid of mice on islands. So the idea is that you have a gene drive that's inserted into the genome of a mouse. So let me just explain that in a bit more detail. It's like a little cassette that has an ability to replicate in the animal after fertilization. So the idea is that this small cassette is able to replicate, and therefore it always gets passed on to the next generation. So you can start with just a few mice that have the gene drive cassette, release them into the island, and the idea is that they will spread that gene drive to ultimately all of the animals in the island. And as part of that process, you'll eventually suppress the population that contain that gene drive. For example, it also confers, for example, an inability to breed as it spreads through the island.
So, all right, if it confers an inability to breed, how then does it pass it on to the next generation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a trick that you use so that the gene drive only replicates itself when it's in just the precursors of the egg or the sperm cells. So it enables those egg or sperm cells to be produced, and they always contain the gene drive, but it doesn't affect the entire, in other words, it doesn't affect the other cells within the organism. So what happens is that, in theory, what happens, this is what we've modelled, the gene drive will spread through the population, and then eventually you'll get to the point where everyone contains the gene drive. They'll start to meet each other, and their progeny, so in other words, the next generation, will inherit a gene drive from both parents, and that means that they will have that infertility.
That's certainly very, very interesting, that sense that it has to go through all of the population and then it begins to do the eradication.
Yep.
Because, yes, otherwise it's very self-limiting isn't it?
That's correct, yes. So, and one of the challenges of this technology is that we'll have to control that self-replication event of the gene drive just to those precursors of the egg and the sperm cells. And that's going to be a challenge, as I said, as part of the development of this technology. So to give you a little bit more background, it has been shown that you can use this gene drive approach in flies, which are a model organism, a genetic model organism, but probably more importantly, mosquitoes. So people are very interested in using gene drives to spread, for example, a malarial resistance gene, or using gene drives to suppress a population of mosquitoes that carry the malaria parasite.
So how far developed are these?
So really there's only half a dozen research papers that have been published actually about gene drive organisms. So the first point I'd like to make is that in mice, we don't actually yet know how efficient the gene drive process would be. So with our modelling studies, which we can talk about in a bit more detail if you like, we've had to draw on the published insect studies to give us some idea of that self-replication, how efficient that would be. For example, that's a key thing to know. We've had to draw upon, as I said, the insect studies to give us a feel for that. There's an awful long way to go. So the other really important point is this is just the very beginnings of a conversation we need to have around this technology, which is quite controversial. And the reason I say that is that we're releasing here into the environment, potentially, what we're talking about is releasing into the environment a transgenic or a genetically modified organism that has the ability to spread that genetic modification to an entire population. Now, that's great if you want to think about suppression, for example, to get rid of mice on islands where they cause a lot of damage. But also you've got to think about the possibility that the mice with the gene drive could come back to the native range of that particular species and start to wipe out a population that you don't want to have any impact upon. So unintended consequences are a big part of it.
Yeah, that was actually one of the questions that I've got here is how would you confine it to just your target species or even part species, really?
It's certainly a big issue that we need to think about. There are genetic tricks that we can use to reduce the possibility that it could target other species. And I think that's reasonably unlikely anyway, but it's certainly something we need to think about. But there are also lots of ideas being developed now about putting a brake on the gene drive spread intentionally as part of the design. So this is a safety feature that you could build into the actual gene drive mechanism. And the idea of that, of course, is that you don't have this never-ending possibility of gene drive spread, but rather limit it to a very, for example, a number of generations. So it wouldn't have this infinite capacity to spread to every, you know, population on Earth if it were able to be transmitted to different continents, for example.
So that sounds highly targeted.
Yes.
Like, how would you limit it to, say, six or seven generations?
It becomes quite technical to do this. It's called a DAISY drive, and it's only theoretical at the moment. And it's using a modified form of gene drive that has several components. And what happens is, the idea is that with each generation, you lose one of those components just naturally through the inheritance process. Once you've lost, if you like, all the links in the chain, then it no longer works anymore. So you have, a limited number of links in the chain, and then once they're gone through inheritance, as you lose one each time, eventually it won't work anymore. That's the kind of idea that people are looking at.
That's certainly a very interesting idea, because if we go back to sort of, you know, we're looking at pest eradication, so far our attempts, they've had quite a serious sting in the tail.
Yeah.
And the sense that, okay, you guys have come up with now something completely new, but the idea of going, what could go wrong and how can we cater for this?
Yes, yes, for sure. So if we put the what could go wrong questions to one side for a moment, and there are, as I said, significant concerns around the use of gene drives, one of the attractive features of this approach is that it's a humane solution to pest eradication. So I guess what you're alluding to some extent, is the use of baits and traps and so on, which are the traditional methods of eradication.
And I'm also using, like cane toads. We brought them in for one problem and we created another.
Sure, yeah. And so how do you get rid of that pest once it's in its unnatural environment or not native environment? Then the use of poisons is common, and that's not a very humane solution. I think most people would be familiar with myxomatosis in the case of rabbits. Again, you know, seeing sick rabbits on the side of the road is not necessarily a solution that everyone would find acceptable, and I think that's understandable. So the gene drive approach can be used in such a way that it causes, for example, just infertility. So it won't cause the animal to become sick, but it will cause it not to be able to be fertile, which, of course, will ultimately result in the population crashing. So you can view it as a humane solution. But as I said, that's putting aside all of those other concerns around spreading to the non-native population, for example.
And I guess the other thing, too, would be about it not spreading across continents, where animals are a pest in one continent, but they are part of the indigenous fauna in the other.
Absolutely. So cane toads are a sort of perfect example of that, where they've been brought to Australia, they've got it way out of control, whereas in South America, they're just part of the natural ecosystem.
Well, I mean, everything that's been imported here, I mean, rabbits, you know, they're a pest here, but they're part of the ecosystem across Northern Europe.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. One of the reasons we targeted mice in islands as a starting point for the modelling experiments that we published recently at the University of Adelaide was for two reasons, really. One is that mice are actually a huge pest on islands because of their ability to destroy nesting sites, for example, for migratory birds, eat the chicks. You know, they cause a large amount of destruction on islands, and they're a real hotspot for loss of biodiversity. We know islands are a particular issue when it comes to rodents. But furthermore, if we ever were to use this technology, we would be looking to do so after a lot of testing in a laboratory setting. We'd be looking to do it in a very contained environment, and islands would potentially provide that contained environment for the first deployments, as I said, if we ever were to go down that path. And that's a long, long way away at this point.
Yes, because you said you're just starting to do studies.
Yes.
So what's your next step?
Our next step is to, as I sort of mentioned earlier, the gene drives have only been shown to work, and they're not foolproof by any means, but they've only been shown to work to some extent in insects. So we've actually started some experiments now to look at whether we could build a gene drive in mouse. These experiments are done under laboratory conditions. We're being very, very careful about constructing the experiment in a way that it wouldn't allow the gene drive to spread if the mice were to escape. So they'll only be active in these special laboratory strains that we're generating. So once we have that system up and running, we'll be able to get a much better feel for how well the gene drive would spread through a population, because we'll know in real terms that self-replication mechanism, how well it works in mice. And that'll allow us actually to do the modelling experiments even more accurately than we've done them now, because we'll have real, if you like, real mouse data to draw upon.
So how long do you expect this to take?
A long, long time. Experiments on mice take much longer than they do in insects. We're looking at, you know, several years before we even get an idea about whether it could even potentially work. And then with a lot of modelling alongside it, it might be 5 or 10 years in that sort of time range before we really have an idea about whether it could work in the wild. Alongside that, though, I would like to come back to the point. There's a big debate that we need to have, and a conversation needs to be had around the use of gene drives, and that involves looking at them from an ethical perspective, you know, a regulatory perspective. Obviously, they're a GM or genetically modified organism, so there's those issues to address as well. And what we see our modelling paper doing is really starting to inform that debate by providing some evidence that gene drives could actually work, at least in an island setting. And we hope that helps to, you know, stimulate the conversation around this whole technology. At the moment, we're a long, long way away from deploying it, but let's have the conversation about whether it could work, and perhaps it'll be a path for the future.